بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Radio Islam. الحمد لله, at the time that this program is airing, it will be in Ramadan. الحمد لله, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with a Mubarak Ramadan, Ramadan that is full of khair and nur, with ibadah that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and plenty of ikhlas. Ameen. On today's program, we're talking about something very interesting. It's something, sadly, we don't talk about enough. And our guest today will be taking us through this topic in detail. Our guest today is no stranger to the airwaves of Radio Islam, and alhamdulillah, we always learn so much from Maulana and his refreshing perspectives and insights. We're really grateful to have him joining us today on the program and the opportunity for us to learn about a very important topic. Today, learning more about the emotional intelligence of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our guest is Maulana Iqbal Adam. Maulana is a scholar of the deen and a life coach. And alhamdulillah, will be sharing with us more on this topic from the deeni perspective and helping us understand in terms of coaching and emotional wellness and emotional intelligence, how to make sense of this topic. We hear the title of the topic, emotional quotient, emotional intelligence, EI, EQ, and we often wonder, what does this mean and how do we as Muslims apply it in our lives? Maulana will be taking us through that in detail on today's program, inshallah. And with that, we welcome Maulana on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam, Maulana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a great pleasure to be on air and to all the listeners.
Alhamdulillah, Maulana. Jazakumullah khair. Allah grant barakah in your time and everything you are doing to serve the deen and the ummah. Ameen. Perhaps if we can begin, Maulana, with understanding this very important word or term that we hear or we read about, and that is empathy. So when it comes to the empathy, how did our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrate empathy in his interaction with others, with the Sahaba, with his family? Explain to us more about this empathy that was lived by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Abba, in the psychological term, you have two. You have a sympathetic and empathetic person. Empathy refers to a person that cares for other people. He gives his heart, he gives his time, and he gives his life for other people. That means he doesn't worry about himself. He worries more about taking care of the needs of other people. So when a person is empathetic, that means that he forgoes his rights and worries about other people more than him. So it's really important, because to understand this from the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he was very, he showed a lot of concerns towards the needs of other people. He always had in his life where he wanted the other person to feel happy, to feel that feel that I fulfilled his need, not only to the extent of financial need, but to spiritual need. There were Sahabas that he asked them to embrace the great deen of Islam, and when they embraced it, he embraced them and he said that now Allah will make you enter into Jannah. When I say he has left his pain to the extent that he even extended the invitation to Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, who was the person that martyred his uncle who shot the spear at that time. And he wrote him a letter to say, embrace Islam. And he wrote back, he said, you know what I did. And then he wrote him another letter to say, Allah has forgiven your past sins. And when Wahshi came, he embraced him and he said, that's the greatest joy for me, that you are in Jannah. So this is empathy, Abba. His character was not only financial empathy, looking at the person's needs financially. Many of the Sahabas, he looked after them even spiritually, and he left his feelings aside. Embrace this deen, he's going to be in Jannah.
I really appreciate that Mulana shared with us about this financial empathy, that it's not just that, because for many of us, we limit the empathy to one, either one or the other. We never allow for, we neglect that, right? We don't see that empathy can be so encompassing in many different ways.
So empathy is in different ways, like it's not only financial support, it's spiritual support, it's creating a support structure for the individual and for going my rights. Mm. Sometimes a person might hurt my feeling in many other ways, and I forgo that, I let it go, and I embracing into my circle of forgiveness. That's empathy. That's what it's about, because if you study the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was empathy. That even in the conquest of Makkah, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, Yawm al-Malhama, it's a day of revenge. It's a day where we're going to take revenge. And what did he say? He said, Yawm al-Marhama, it's a day of mercy. Mm-hmm. So he knew where he's going to. He knew the pain that the Quraysh and the Meccans put him through. He knew he's going to conquer it, and he knew he could take revenge on them, but he left it, and he said it's a day of mercy. And to the extent that those that caused pain to them, he put them under protection. That's empathy.
I want to take a moment just to internalize what you mentioned. You said, embrace them into my circle of forgiveness. Yes. And I'm wondering if the listeners can join me, inshallah, because as we said, the time this program is will be in Ramadan. Just to internalize that, that is so profound, to ask ourselves, who can I, and I say that first for myself, who can I embrace into my circle of forgiveness? Allahu Akbar. We're so busy with the nafsi culture of pushing people out. I'm setting bounds. Okay, there's space for boundaries in many ways, but sometimes we go overboard and we're pushing people out of that circle rather than embracing people into that circle of forgiveness. And I've just written that down, and for my listeners, that's something I'm going to sit with for a while and to see what do I need to do to embrace people into my circle of forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. That is very, very powerful. Mulana, if we go even a step further, you know, we're talking about embracing people into our circle of forgiveness. What is it we can do to better manage or resolve conflicts? Because we talk about conflict management through perhaps how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam managed and resolved conflicts amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Nobody was perfect. There were people different, like we are, different personalities, different issues come up, we are human. It's so intriguing. How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam manage that amongst Sahabas, some who were Roman, some who were African, some who were young, old, weak, poor, different backgrounds? How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam manage this, subhanAllah?
It is amazing, Abba, that if you study the history, and I think especially if the young children are listening, I think the history books are of grade 4, grade 5, I'm not in tune anymore, I used to teach this, so you find that the story of the black stone, you know, there was a conflict of where to put the black stone with all the leaders, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came up and he said, put it on the sheet, and called each leader of each tribe and said, carry the sheet, and he showed them where to put it. So then it created peace. Everyone felt happy that they were part and parcel of putting the black stone where he told them to put it. So he resolved that conflict in the most amicable way. You know, there were examples when the Sahabas used to come and complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of a certain Sahabi that had hurt them or did something to them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always told them, look at the virtues of that particular Sahabi. He never undermined the Sahabi that they complained of. Now, that's how he resolved a conflict, you know. I think many of us would know this example, where Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting, and one Sahabi mentioned a very disgusting term to him, and he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was a bit hurt with it. He just said, "I felt a bit hurt that this Sahabi mentioned this to me." And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called the Sahabi and said that Bilal, his footsteps were heard in Jannah. You know, that's the status of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Sahabi went to Bilal and he said, "Please forgive me." So, you know, when there's a conflict that comes to us, arises within us, we always want to listen to what the person has to say about the other person, and we'll add our spices and masala onto it. We will never give the status, okay, he's a good person, but that's his fault. Maybe you can work it out this way, you know. So you just study his life in many ways. He resolved conflicts in the most unique and remarkable way.
SubhanAllah, remarkable indeed. Allahu Akbar. Maulana, we hear topics such as, or words such as, self-awareness and self-regulation. It's things we read when we're scrolling through the net. I'm wondering if you could put this into context for us as Muslims. In which ways did our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam display this self-awareness and self-regulation when he was faced with challenging circumstances?
So we need to understand about the meaning of self-awareness means that I'm psychologically, emotionally, I'm in tune with myself, with my environment, with everything that goes around me. That is self-awareness. In other words, when I'm in my space, I'm quite aware where I am. I'm aware of my temperament. I'm aware of how I'm feeling. That's self-awareness. And if you look at it, 1400, taught us, because he was at the state of self-awareness. Self-awareness goes to the fact with the next point you mentioned is self-reflection. It's the same thing, because it comes to the point of, if I'm in a state of self-awareness, then I have to go to introspection and self-awareness of self-regulation. That means I look at myself and look at my journey and look at where I went wrong. And that is the path of self-awareness. Is what did I do wrong? And what can I do to change? And that is self-awareness. So if you look at the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at the most difficult part of his life, when the Quraysh were mocking him after the revelation of the Quran, there was no other revelation that came, and they mocked and laughed at him. He went into the cave, and what did he do? He went into self-awareness. He went into introspection, and he was questioning that, "Ya Allah, am I chosen as your prophet? If I am, then why isn't there verses?" And you know, and then Allah Ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Duha to bring total contentment to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then when the verse Iqra was revealed, then he came to Bibi Khadija and he said, "Zambiluni, cover me, console me." What did she do? She brought him to self-awareness. And she brought him to this point you're talking of, where she told him, "Ya Rasulullah, you take care of the needy, you take care of the poor, you take care of the widows, you're a loving, caring person to everyone. You are chosen by Allah, go and fulfill your mission." So this is
self-awareness. SubhanAllah, beautiful to hear how we can learn this. Something that has beautiful examples and its origins in our seerah, alhamdulillah. Mawlana, we understand that, you know, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, like us, all had their ups and downs, you know, their moods, things that they were experiencing in their own personal struggles. Were there ways in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uplifted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in? He inspired them, he lifted their spirits when they were feeling down. Could Mawlana share with us some of this, please?
There were so many examples of when Sahabas fell down and they were not in a very good space. A hadith in Tirmizi said, and many Sahabas would narrated this, that when they should come in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they felt they were so close to him, as if they were closer to him than Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. He made them feel special. Even when they were in a time of difficulty, they forgot that difficulty because he brought them to a space of a smile, because he overlooked his difficulty. There were examples of when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had stones tied to his stomach, and he used to meet the Sahabas and he used to show them that this is due to excessive hunger. And they also were also hungry. But when they looked at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also having stones on his stomach, and he told them, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that made it easier for them to fulfill their beautiful journey ahead. And that is why, in many examples, when Sahabas fell into great difficulty, they always found comfort in our beloved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he used to make their difficulty. You know, there's other narrations in the hadith about where Sahabas narrate they haven't found any greater joy than just to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smile. And Sahabas used to say just the smile of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought joy to them. So this is what he used to do, is at the time of the most difficult crisis, he was calm, and he used to make them feel as comfortable as possible that I got it under control and Allah is with us. In the battle of Badr, 313 Sahabas, psychologically, logically, you know you're going to be crushed. And he came out after making dua and he looked at the Sahabas, and the Sahabas looked at his face. And they said, we knew that we got victory. We got victory by just looking at his face, the confidence and the positivity he had. So in our life, to Appa, when we go through difficulty or situation, we always make it so worse that instead of comforting people, they also go in a psychological test and in a worse space, you know. So that's what it's all about, is how you make the situation comfortable, you know.
Yes. Could Mawlana give us an example of that, like a practical example in today's time? Give us an example, perhaps, if you can, of how we do that. We may not even realize we do that, and we make people uncomfortable rather than giving them comfort or being a source of comfort or being a grounding presence around them. We tend to put people in a very uncomfortable, awkward place. Could Mawlana, from your coaching experience, give us one such example of how we may be doing that and not realize that?
A practical example, Appa. We are living in a country in a world of uncertainty. And there's different crises that happen in countries. Like in our country, we have load shedding, you know, and we have different crises that's dawning upon us. And your family, your children are worried and concerned. And you also add to the concern by saying this country is gone, you know, there's load shedding, there's that. You know, giving a comfort space, because you are the leader, and the family wants a comfort space to say, no, listen, Allah is with us. Things will get right. Things are under control. But Allah's for them. Things will be overcome, you know. So in our times, Abba, we make dua for the people of Palestine, for the children of Palestine, and for the Mujahideen in Palestine. But if you look at it, Abba, they got confidence within the situation that they are in. They have a smile, and they know that Allah is there. So this is what it is about, that we go through small difficulties. We create anxiety. We create depression on our family. And everyone is depressed because everyone is talking of negativity. We must learn one person has to talk positivity to align the brain to say, oh, no, there's an outcome there, you know.
Absolutely. That makes so much of sense. Jazakumullah khair for sharing with us such a practical example. I think that can help many of us to recognize where are we falling short, where are we putting people in a state of discomfort or unease, and we may not even realize it. May Allah help us always. Ameen. When we talk about criticism and feedback, that's a big issue for many people. Some people are not open to feedback or criticism. They take it personally too much, not willing to go beyond that. How did our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam handle both criticism and feedback through the lens of emotional intelligence?
Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam handled it in a way of he was the Habibullah, he was the beloved of Allah. And in many conditions, Abba, the Quraysh at Mecca used to mock at him, used to laugh at him, used to criticize him. And how did he deal with it? He dealt with it by remaining silent and used to go on the Musalla and make dua for them. That, Ya Allah, you guide them. In Taif, Abba, when he went, stones were thrown at him. He was hurt. He was in pain. He sat under the tree and he said, Ya Allah, guide me. And this is what it is about, Abba, that you know, you're going to be criticized. People are going to criticize you. People are going to pick on your character. People are going to be negative on your character. He never went back and attacked them. He put his trust on Allah Ta'ala and made dua for them. So remember, Abba, when you are being criticized and you want to now defend this, it's going to go on and on and on. And Nabi Sallallahu never went back and defended them. You know, he couldn't. He never did that. He always made dua to Jannah. They don't know. Give them hidayah. Guide them. They don't know the truth. Guide them. And after his dua, the whole community of Taif embraced this beautiful deen of Islam, and that guided them. You know, so the point is, in conflict situation, when people criticize you, there's a positive criticism, and there's negative. You know, and he used to take both. He used to take the positive and the negative, and that. It made him a best leader. And this is what he taught. Hazrat Umar was very strong-minded. And he always taught him that accept criticism. You know, to the extent of no one could tell Umar, this is right, this is wrong. But after the teachings of Muhammad, he became a different person. He understood life differently. He became a different leader. You know, so I give you an example that one Sahabi went to his house and he knocked on his door and he heard his wife giving him a shouting. So the Sahabi ran away, went back, and Umar al-Khattab said, who came to my house and knocked on my door and went away? And the Sahabi stood up and he said, me. And he said, then why did you go away? He said, I was just amazed. We all frightened for you. We scared. But you got calling from your wife, I don't, wow. And then he told the Sahaba, my Nabi told me to have tolerance and patience towards our wives. You know?
Allah.
So this is the whole aspect of that. You're going to be criticized in life. You're going to be told. People are going to criticize you. It's how we deal with it. And the sunnah of Nabi Sallam was, he made dua for the people that criticize him. He smiled. Many a times, the Quraysh used to come and mock at him. Abu Jahal came one day and told Nabi Ali Sallam that whatever is in my hand, if you tell me what's in my hand, I will accept your prophethood. He was jeering and mocking at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the stones in the hand of Abu Jahl made the zikr Rasulullah ilayhi wa sallam. And he threw the stones away. And he walked away. You know. So these were conditions of that he was faced with serious criticism. But he never attacked. He always approached it calmly.
SubhanAllah. Allah give us all that ability as well to approach things with calmness and grace. Ameen. When we talk about, you know, you mentioned how to handle this criticism and feedback. And so that is so strongly connected to effective communication skills. I'm wondering if Maulana could take a few minutes to discuss that with us, please. Instances where Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did exhibit, and there were so many, I'm sure, subhanAllah, but just one or two cases which we can see highlighted from the surah of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhibited effective communication skills, where he communicated with all the different personalities of the Sahaba in such a way that his message reached them, or what he wanted to share with them was easily understood and absorbed by the Sahaba.
One day, a Bedouin comes in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling and he came. And he was right at the back. And he said, Ya Rasulallah, very loudly. Extremely loudly. He's clear. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, lower your voice. And he said, it's my Nabi. And he shouted. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, Hahum, I'm listening to you. And he said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi, if I cannot join you in the battle, but I have love for you, what will be my status on the day of Qiyamah? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you'll be resurrected with whom you love. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, ana uhibbuk. I love you. You know, so the point I'm sharing, Afa, he understood the cultures the Bedouins came from, how they speak, how they scream. And he tolerated that. You know, he understood that. And he showed tolerance towards that, you know. So there's another beautiful example of where a young boy came in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And remember, at this point, there were great Sahabis sitting there, as Umar ibn Khattab, great companions were sitting there. And he walks in, and he sits right in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a young boy, a teenager. And he says, oh, Ya Rasulullah, I have a question and I want to know the answer, but I just need your advice. And he said, go for it. And he said, I want to commit zina. What's your advice? As Umar al-Lakhlanu, we can imagine this, how angry he was with this question. And the resourceful told this boy, he smiled with him and he said, how would you want if I do it with your sister? The boy said, oh my God, I never accepted. And the boy walked away from there and he said he haven't found anyone in better skills of communication, in better understanding, and a better teacher than Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it's very incumbent upon in today's time that we implement this effectively within our communities. And that's where the point comes in, Abba, where we become non-judgmental. Not judgmental. And when we are judgmental, we are going to break communities.
That's something we definitely need to speak to Mon, and I think later on in the year, just I think dedicating some time to look at this topic of the judgmental mindsets that we need to combat, we need to overcome, and how it's harmful to us in terms of our deen. We'd definitely like to explore that in detail with you, inshallah, later. May Allah give us a barakah in time and iman to do so. Ameen. Well, let's talk about the different seasons of life. So in life there's a joy and there's a happiness, elation, but then we also have the sorrow and difficulty. We know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through the year of sorrow, Ayyam al-Huzn. Perhaps we could understand with you, how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam console and comfort those around him when they were going through sorrows and difficulties, whether it was on an individual level or collectively as the Ummah and community at that time?
So what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did is, and this is the psychological impact that the brain has, a transitional change has an impact on our mood swing. Did I get that? So if a situation is calm and relaxed, the brain releases chemicals of happiness and we're all calm and we're happy and we chill. And suddenly, when we are put under a stressful situation, the brain now brings about anxiety and it creates a different mood swing for us, where we go under depression, we go under sadness, and various types of negative situations that the body reacts to. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the Sahabas went through a transitional change of sadness, and they went through like a boycott, or they went through pain, or they went through any kind of calamities, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always brought them to the state and making them understand that Allah is with us. You know, put your trust in Allah and do not leave the hope and the belief in Allah. And then psychologically, the Sahabas felt that, you know what, there's hope in the end because Allah is with us. So to give you a practical example, Abba, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated from Makkah going towards Medina, then in the cave where they were residing with Abu Bakr, the enemies came right to the cave. And as Abu Bakr started to, he got anxious, he was worried, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, La tahzan, do not grieve, in Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. You know, and that was enough for Abu Bakr al-Atlan. That gave him the psychological strength to say, Allah is going to be here. You know, so what he did, he motivated them to believe in the unseen and believe in the trust and in the hope and in the nusrat of Allah. So what happens with us today, Abba, the transitional changes does not bring us to a point where we believe that Allah is going to assist us. We trying to find solutions to the problem. So that's why we get challenged all the time, because the Sahabas had the problem. He taught them, put your trust in Allah. And they did that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted them.
That trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we all both start building that or developing that this Ramadan, inshallah. Ameen. It's amazing how the seerah teaches us these through beautiful lived examples. That is such a treasure within the seerah. And lastly, Mawlana, if with this topic of emotional intelligence, people have different character, different personalities, and you can juggle all of that just in a family, in a home or a family unit is challenging. But for Rasulullah to be doing that among such a huge community, How was he able, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to be understanding and respectful towards the emotions of his Sahaba, who had different situations, different backgrounds? Some were kings and were tribesmen and leaders of their community. Others were foreigners from outside of the Arabian Peninsula. Some were Ansar, others Muhajirin. How did Rasulullah demonstrate that understanding and respect for the emotions of these diverse individuals in very different situations?
So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his teacher and was Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, was a beloved of Allah, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala guided our Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the guidance that Allah gave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets implemented into our life because we're learning from that. So in a diverse community, Allah Ta'ala revealed verses to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of how to deal and how to work with them. And one of the beautiful verses that Allah says, "Oh man, we have created you from Hazrat Adam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, then we have put you into different tribes and nationalities, lita'arifu, that you may recognize one." And this is the concept he worked on, because he knew he's dealing with different types of people, different emotions, different backgrounds, and he understood where they came from and how to deal with them. And in a community, Abba, we also need to understand that you need to look at the background of where the person comes from. His behavioral pattern will be totally different to your cultural pattern. And we cannot bring our cultural pattern, our cultural psychological well-being into our communities, and we expect everyone to be like us. You know, it's not going to be like that. So how he did is, in the culture, I just shared with Papa, the Bedouins were very outspoken. They had no way of approaching matters like how the Quraysh had. The Quraysh were disciplined. They had respect. They came forward with respect. They used to come boldly. He understood that, and he entertained that, you know. So the mere fact of that he understood the psychological and emotional well-being of every individual and his background, to the extent of Hazrat Umar al-Akhlanu, he understood him. He understood his background. He understood where he came from, and he guided him accordingly. So if you look at this, with Hazrat Abu Bakr, he dealt very differently. And with Umar, he dealt very differently. So that's, he understood the character, the temperament of Umar, and he dealt with him accordingly. So that's I don't know if I answered Afa's question. That's So remember, Afa, as a family, as husband, wife, or family, or whatever, remember, everyone comes from a different background.
And I think often we forget that, you know, we just want we see everyone as all the same background, we're all the same, and you know, we end up stereotyping culturally. Another topic we'd love to discuss with Mawlana in future, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana, for your time with us today. Before we conclude, could we ask Mawlana to let us know how can our listeners be in touch with you to benefit from your projects, your dini projects, or your life coaching services? What's the best way for them to get in touch with Mawlana?
They can contact my 3806415537536 Naima. If they want to get in trouble, alhamdulillah, we're going to have Ramadan projects now, with the youth packing hampers for the underprivileged, the youth of our community. back hampers and gives it out to the underprivileged. The girls, young girls, are going to also pack hampers and give it to the underprivileged communities. So we're embarking on this kind of project, inshallah, to get the youth involved and understanding different cultures, what they go through.
Fantastic, mashallah, mashallah. Beautiful projects, listeners. Please do get in touch with Maulana to see how you can be part of that and gain the ajr of that. Ramadan is a wonderful time, I mean, throughout the year, but Ramadan is a wonderful start to that, inshallah. And may Allah make us consistent in supporting such noble projects. Ameen. Maulana, we make dua that it is a blessed Ramadan for you, your family, your students, your community. And we look forward to speaking to Maulana in the future and continue to benefit from your hikmah and your ilm, inshallah. Ameen.
Ameen.
Jazakallah khairan, Maulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And on the program today, we are speaking to Al-Adam on the topic of emotional intelligence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This program, like all others, is up on podcast, and you can access that at any time, radioislam.org.za. Do join us next week as we continue our journey together. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.